So, you know, I don't know, when I was going through grade school, we had a lot of this stuff, you know. We were taught about America, its heritage, and now they want to rewrite. I mean, not everything was rosy and good that happened, but I believe that God has established this nation as an extension of the gospel unto the nations. God has, you know, raised up this nation for the sake of the gospel. Okay? And these first folks that came over, they came over because they were under, as you remember, religious oppression. And they were being controlled by the government. So they escaped to come to a new land where they could worship the Lord freely without fear of oppression. And many of them paid the ultimate price, and many of them did not even arrive here safely. They had died on the journey. It was such a hard journey for them. They didn't have all the amenities we have today, as you know. And so you hear the hearts of gratitude for God's provision. And yet today, something that we'd probably take for granted. Well, you just go to the grocery store and you buy these things. But they had to live off the land, and they had to trust God for their survival. But God began a work through these folks that came over. And there was a revival here in America. There was a spiritual awakening. And isn't it interesting that even in Salem, Massachusetts, there was a great revival among the Puritans. And today, it's known as the capital of witchcraft in the United States. And see, that's what happens when there's a void, when people depart from the Lord, then the enemy comes and sets up camp in its place. And the same thing is true with you and I in our hearts. Amen. We need to guard our hearts carefully and not allow anything in our lives that in any way would give access for the enemy. All right? Because he wants to get in and establish a place of security in you. It's called a stronghold. You know, a stronghold is a means a fortified castle, right? Stronghold. And so he's looking for sympathy or a little bit of compromise from us so that he can set up camp in our lives. Are you hearing me today? Jesus came, amen, to liberate us and break the power of sin and Satan, amen, and to liberate every captive. He wants to drive the darkness out of people, amen. And he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants every part of us, every void, every room filled with his Holy Spirit. Amen. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we will be filled with the light of Christ. And when you have the light, you're able to see. Why is there such a lack of discernment? Because there's a lack of light, because of compromise. The enemy wants us to dabble with darkness so he can blind us in the darkness. Jesus wants to remove the blinders from our eyes, amen, and reveal the truth to us. And he is the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we celebrate Thanksgiving in this nation. And it's good to know once in a while to remind ourselves of there was a cost. There was a price that was paid by our forefathers to have what we have, to be where we're at today. And it's by the grace of God, America still stands today. And the enemy wants to take America down because America has great influence in the nations, especially when it comes to the gospel. And so as God's people, we are to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Amen. And turn from our wicked ways. And then God said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. And do what? Heal their land. You want America healed? It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with us. We are the influence. We are the world changers that God has set up for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. We could have been born any time in history, but we were born in such a time as this. Hallelujah. Look at the nations, the uproar, all the things that are happening so quickly that are all pointing to the fact that Jesus, amen, is going to return. Hallelujah. And he's coming for those who are ready, those who are looking for him. That's right. That's why he said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to what? Escape all these things that you see coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. He's coming for those who are ready, those who are watchful, those who are awake. We say, Lord, give us oil in our lamps. Amen. So our lights are brightly burning. Amen. So our eyes are open and we can discern the times that we're living in. Amen. And we can understand the difference between what is of God and what is not of God, because there is a huge amount of deception today. Can you say amen? And so many people are being deceived because their eyes are not opened. And I say, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Open my eyes that I might see. I don't want to be deceived. No other gods before him. You see, people sometimes choose a Jesus that fits their lifestyle. They have a false Jesus, but it's a Jesus that fits their lifestyle. How many know we are not to conform to this world, but we are to conform to Jesus? Amen. He's not going to conform to our lifestyle, by the way. We're to conform to him. We're to be like him. Amen. And you cannot be like somebody unless you're with somebody. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith as we seek the Lord. Amen. Our hearts are illuminated by his Spirit. Amen. The darkness is driven out. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened so that now we can discern. We can see. That means discernment means to judge correctly what is of God and what is not. So we want to be able to discern, to judge correctly. And the only way we can do that is by the Spirit of truth that God gives to those who obey him. He gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Amen. He said, if you have been faithful in little, I'll make you ruler of much. But you got to be faithful in what you already have. In the light that you do have, you're responsible for. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God gives light. Amen. Light is good. Would you agree? I don't like stumbling around in the dark. I want to know where I'm going. I want to be able to see clearly. There are things that are lurking in the darkness. Amen. And so we want to know. Amen. Where we're going and what to avoid as we walk this journey. Hallelujah. We are celebrating a feast of joy, really, because Thanksgiving and joy go together. Amen. You know, people, generally speaking, who are genuinely grateful are joyful people. Amen. People who are ungrateful are usually negative and pessimistic because they're focusing on what they don't have or what's wrong or what's broken. They're not looking at what they do have. There's an old song we used to sing years ago, Count Your Blessings. Amen. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So even as we celebrate this feast of joy, you know, these Puritans that came over were very much influenced by the Word of God, amen? And so the Jewish people, amen, were given certain feasts, okay? And one of them was the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was actually known, there's several names for it. One was Sukkot, right? But it was also known as the Feast of Joy. There was another title for it. And so this is a week-long, eight-day celebration of the fall harvest in a time where they would build these booths or these temporary dwellings of palm and willow tree branches to remember how the Hebrew people lived under God's care during their 40 years in the wilderness. So this celebration was a reminder of God's faithfulness and protection. And there were two ceremonies that were part of the last day of Sukkot. One was people would carry torches and march around the temple, and then they would set the lights around the temple walls, indicating that the Messiah would be a light to the non-Jewish peoples of the Gentiles. Okay, and that's in Isaiah 49:6. He says, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Salvation is of the Jews. Why? Because Jesus was born of Jewish kin. All right, from that nation. And a priest would also, this is also a part of it, he would carry water from the Pool of Siloam up to the temple. And this was symbolizing that when the Messiah comes, the whole earth will know God. All right? And that's Isaiah 11 and 9. For the earth shall be full, what? Of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So this was known as the drawing of water ceremony. I almost said it like English water. It was known as the drawing of water. And so the priest, along with a multitude of people, would go down to the Temple Mount, to the Pool of Siloam, all right, and draw water and ascend to the Temple Mount with the multitudes, but they would be rejoicing. This was a time of great joy and celebration, all right? Then on the top of the mount, the priest would pour out the water while reciting Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. That word salvation in the Hebrew is Yeshua. That's speaking of the Messiah, Jesus. So you will draw water from the Lord. Amen. He is the life. Amen. He is our life. He is the fountain of living waters. And so in the gospel, we see when Jesus had attended the same feast of tabernacles on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, John 7:37, if you don't have a reference, there's one right on our sign outside. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. If Christ is in you, then you have a reservoir of life in you. Amen. As we sing the old song, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Amen. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Hallelujah. Yes, those who believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly, out of their spirit, will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Now, the next morning, when the torches were still burning, Jesus stood up and said, I am the light of the world. All those things that had been written before, the ceremonies, were always to give us a picture of the Messiah, of Jesus, the Christ. And so, this was also known, the Feast of Tabernacles, as the autumn harvest feast of ingathering. So basically, this is their Thanksgiving feast. Okay? And so they'd gather in Jerusalem, and they bring the fruits of the harvest of the year. They would specifically give thanks to God for all of his blessings. So the Feast of Tabernacles was their feast of thanksgiving. Okay? And God said that this feast was to be altogether joyful. In Leviticus 23 and verse 40, he said, you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful trees, branch of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days, Feast of Tabernacles. Now, why is this important? Because, again, there is a connection between thanksgiving and joy. You want joy in your life? Change your attitude. Grateful people are mostly joyful people. Proverbs 15:15 says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a what? Continual feast. A lot of it is attitude, guys. Do we trust God? Do we believe God that he's good? There's a power, there's an amazing power in giving of thanks. Grumbling, complaining, it's the opposite of thanks. Someone once said complaining is to rebel against the sovereignty of God. So the devil wants to get us caught up in the critical complaining spirit. Been there, done that. Have you ever met a joyful complainer? I remember when I was in the Army, a lot of times there were certain people that could either promote good morale or poor morale, depending on their attitude. You got a couple of people that are disgruntled, they can just ruin it for everybody. Are you hearing me? And so our attitude is important. God does take note of that. Amen. Because really our attitude isn't a reflection of what's going on inside. Remember Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14:2? And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord, now they're blaming the Lord, brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? You know, you can be tempted as a believer to go back into the world thinking, well, it was easier in the world. Because we can easily forget what God has done for us. You can forget your slavery. You can forget how bad it really was. You know, if you're not careful, we need to remember the Lord's faithfulness. Amen. They were to celebrate the feast of, what was it? Of unleavened bread. Okay. As a reminder of Jesus being the bread of life. Amen. Who's the one that actually provided for them. All right, bread from heaven. Jesus himself said, I am the what? Bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they are dead. All right, so manna, amen, represents who? Christ, who is our bread. He is our life. Amen. So remembering, all right, when we have communion, when we share communion, amen, we're remembering what the Lord did for his people at the Passover. Amen. Remember, they had slain the lamb and they took the blood of the lamb and they put it upon the doorposts. Amen. And the lentils, right? I didn't say lentils. Lentils. I always get that. Lentils. So that when the death angel came, what? He would see the blood and he would pass over. Amen. The same thing is true today. If you and I are in Christ, we're covered in the blood. Amen. So that we pass from death unto life. Amen. We escape, hallelujah, the consequence of our sin that put us in death. Are you hearing me? Jesus overcame hell and the grave. Amen. He is victorious. He is Lord of all. And in him alone is there salvation, is there deliverance. So Joshua, verse 6, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Notice they said in verse 8, if the Lord delights in us. Well, how many know that with many, the Lord did not delight in them? Amen. Why? Because of their attitude. Because they became ungrateful. Because they forgot all the miracles, all the things that the Lord had done for them. Are you hearing me? It's very important that we remain grateful. That we have an attitude of gratitude. That in all things we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. As someone once said, if all you have is manna, thank God for the manna. Amen. It's God's provision for you. God's going to take care of us. Amen. But if he delights in us, he will take us into a better place. He'll take us into the land of promise. Come on. And so Joshua and Caleb are freaking out because of the people's attitude. And then in verse 9, it says, only do not rebel. Why were they rebelling? Because God had already spoke to them. God had already given them a promise that he was going to take them into a land that was good. But they begin to doubt God's goodness and begin to complain. Instead of rejoicing and giving God thanks, amen, they begin to complain instead. They begin to focus on what they didn't have rather than on what they did. So do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You know, God's good intention was to bring Israel into that good land. Amen. It's important that we continue to practice thanksgiving as a way of life. Because there is a connection, once again, between joy and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I believe a thankful person, amen, has a continual feast. Hallelujah. You know, I've noticed that. I've been in other countries, and I've seen some of the poorest people with the best attitude. Come on. That would rejoice in the simple things of life. You know, they had a little rice to eat or some chicken. My goodness, some people, they may get to eat a chicken once a week or something, some less than that. I remember hearing a report of one of my friends that went to the Philippines in one particular village, that they would eat maybe a chicken a week. And when they came, they gave them their beds. They were like straw beds or whatever. They were just they were mats, you know, on the ground. But they gave up their beds so that the missionaries could sleep on those beds. And they gave up their chicken so the missionaries could eat chicken. And then the whole time they're just rejoicing and they were grateful that they could actually bless somebody like that. Are you hearing me? I think in America we're a little bit on the spoiled side. Would you agree? And that's why Thanksgiving will keep your heart in check. It'll keep you in the right perspective because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. But be thankful today and that my God shall supply all my need, not all my wants, but my needs. Amen. And I'm trusting the Lord for that. How about you? Thanksgiving, listen, opens the door to favor, God's favor. He delights in his children who have a grateful heart. Not pessimistic, not negative, not complaining, not wishing I had more. Come on, what happened to Israel in the wilderness? They got tired of the manna and then they started craving for meat. And they kept belly aching about it until finally God gave them what they wanted, but he said it sent leanness of soul into them. It cost them. Because God was trying to do a work in their lives. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we just want to get out of every trial and every test that comes our way. How many know you can't rebuke your way out of every test and trial in life? Amen. Some things you just got to ride out because there's a purpose for it in your life. Gratitude is a sign that we are confident in God's goodness. Thanksgiving, again, it opens the door to God's favor. You want to please the Lord? Reflect on his goodness every day. When you sit down to a meal, thank God, amen. If all you got is top ramen, thank God for the top ramen, amen. Thank God you're not going without. And the Lord can open the door, amen, to have all grace abound towards you. Sometimes all we need to do is change our attitude. And then the Lord will begin to favor us. Are you hearing me? He can make it happen. He owns it all, does he not? Our Father owns it all. That's why we don't have to covet anybody's silver or gold, right? Why? Because we already own it. Why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if my Father owns it and I'm his son, that means I'm also an heir. All right, come on, somebody. So you don't need to covet something that you already own. However, I don't suggest you just go into somebody's house and start eating out of the refrigerator, right? I think you get the point here. We need to be grateful, first of all, and most importantly, that God saved us, that he forgave us, that he gave his only begotten son to die a cruel death in our place. We deserve to die, but he died in our place. God laid upon our Lord the iniquity of us all. We did not deserve that. Amen. We deserve judgment and hell, but in mercy, God gave us his son as an offering to pay our debt. God wants people to be forgiven. He went all the way to the cross for us. That's how much God cares about you, how much he loves you. Amen. How many know that God can take care of you? He first loved us. We didn't love him. He loved us first. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Amen. It wasn't because we were good. It's because we weren't. That he took upon himself the form of a man, came in human flesh. Amen. To become the scapegoat. Our sacrifice. And what we deserve to pay, he paid. Does he not deserve our best? The more you and I complain, the less joy we have. If you want joy, then give thanks. With joy, it says, draw water from the wells of Yeshua. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. How do we approach God? We come before him with the password, thank you. Amen. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for another day. Thank you that I got out of bed this morning, man. Thank you I had something to eat this morning. In all things, give him thanks. Keep a grateful attitude, and it will keep the door of favor open in your life. So sometimes we just need a little attitude adjustment. I do too. And I need to be reminded, aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit there to remind us? Amen. When we start to forget the Lord's goodness in our lives, we need to remember what he has done and what he is doing. So thank God for everything. It will cause your joy to multiply. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your friends. Thank him for health, food, clothing, your home. Amen. Your spouse, your children, etc. Most of us, we can give thanks today, amen, because we have salvation in Jesus. We have eternal life. Amen. We're living in temporary bodies. We're living in a temporary world, amen. But we're all going to die someday. And the question is, where will I spend eternity? You need to make sure of your salvation. There is no other salvation except through Jesus Christ. Amen. These other religions do not offer a way out of the sin problem. Jesus is the only one that could deal with the sin problem. Why? Because he was without sin. Because he was the holy God that took upon himself. He tabernacled in flesh among us. God became a man. And because the blood in Jesus was not connected to the blood of Adam, only Jesus, amen, could atone. His blood only could pay the price for sin. So there is salvation and none other. I know this offends certain people, but we need to understand that if we understand what God did for us and how it had to be through the methodology, amen, of Jesus becoming a man, amen, God becoming a man in the person of Jesus Christ and dying a death on the cross in our place. It was a substitutionary death, amen, because we could not save ourselves. He came to save us. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad we're forgiven today? Are you forgiven today? Is it well with your soul? If you take your last breath today, are you going to be with Jesus? We need to know that. Would you agree? You don't want to guess about your salvation. You want to make sure that it is well with your soul. Amen. That you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What were we doing this morning? We're offering the praise to God, amen, that he deserves. That is what? The fruit of our thoughts. Somebody say the fruit of our lips, right? It didn't say the fruit of our thoughts. We give the sacrifice of praise to God, offering him what? The fruit of our lips. Lips. How many know if you go to a ball game and you're praising your favorite team, you're not sitting there, well, that was a, I'll just give it a good thought here. That was a great touchdown. I'm just thinking really hard right now about that touchdown. No, you're going to say something, amen? You're going to give praise to your team, all right, for doing a good thing. Now listen, how much more does God deserve our praise? The God of heaven, the God of gods, the creator, the one who's made us all, amen? Given life and breath to all of us, he deserves the highest praise. Your highest praise does not belong to a piece of pigskin flying through the air, amen? Your highest praise belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. If you can shout your voice away at a ball game, you should be able to shout your voice away at church. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Go ahead and play something, sweetie. That was good. Or was that somebody's phone? That sounded good. Go ahead and turn it up. We'd like to hear that. So, hallelujah. Just go ahead and play something sweetly over there. How many appreciate Judy? She's back there. You know, she's always taking care of stuff. I don't have to worry about it. Hallelujah. I appreciate my daughter. But you can change the atmosphere of your life by practicing Thanksgiving every day. Are you hearing me? You want to change the atmosphere of your life? Change your attitude. Start being thankful now. Practice it. Work on it if you have to, amen? Ask the Lord to help you, to keep you mindful. It doesn't take that much, amen, for us to realize that God has and is always good to us. Do you know God is good to the just and the unjust? Amen. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust and the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. God is good to all, amen? The difference is some people acknowledge that and some people do not. But God wants us to remember that is because he loves us, that he does good for us, amen? And as a father, he's going to take care of his children. We maintain an attitude of gratitude, all right, so that you and I can continue in the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you're looking for a better job. Amen. Thank God for the job you do have. All right. And then pray and say, Lord, if maybe you need a greater provision for your family, well, be faithful, be thankful. Amen. And what you already have. All right. And God can make all grace abound. I've seen God put me in the front of the line where I didn't deserve it. Are you hearing me? I didn't qualify for it. There's people that were more qualified than I was, but God put me in the front of the line. I try to honor God. Are you hearing me? And giving and in the way I live my life and being thankful to God. All right, we need to practice that. Once in a while, like everybody else, I can get off in a little funk, amen, and have a little pity party or start complaining about stuff. And I'm thankful the Holy Spirit's there to put that crook around my neck and give me a little attitude adjustment, amen, and get me straightened out again. And so I'm giving God thanks again, giving God praise again. And I find that he inhabits the praises of his people. When we're giving praise, isn't it glorious this morning as we're all singing together, I could just feel and hear the angels breaking. Did you hear the angels breaking in this morning?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you are with us. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We remember your sacrifice. We remember what you did for us, Lord God. You gave your life, Lord, for us. You bore the weight of our sin. You deserve the glory. For without you, there is no salvation. Without you, there is no hope of eternal life. And there is no hope in this world. But with you, Lord, we have all things and everything we need. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you for shedding your blood on that cross for us. Thank you for giving your life. Thank you, Lord, that you took those stripes on your back that we might be healed. Thank you, Lord, that healing is available today, right now. And we ask right now, Lord, you release your healing in this place. You need healing today. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just lift up your hands. And we speak healing over everyone right now that's lifted their hands. Receive your healing today in Jesus' name. For the price for that healing has already been paid in full. Be healed in Jesus' name. You need deliverance today. I say be delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be set free in Jesus' name.